今天我们要聊的呢是追觅科技在 pre-IPO 之前。
Today, we're going to talk about what's happening with pre-IPO.
因为创始人的一些极端言论和夸张的营销所带来的一些舆论上的风波啊。
Due to some extreme statements and exaggerated marketing by the founder.
以及这背后的一些资本运作的逻辑。
And the underlying logic of these capital operations.
对。
Okay.
这个确实最近挺受关注的。
This is indeed quite popular recently.
行，那我们就开始吧。
好。
So they started.
来。
Okay.
咱们先来看看第一个大问题啊。
Let's look at the first question.
就是于浩的这个微博被禁言的完整的事实啊，就是他这个微博被禁言到底是一个什么样的状态。
The fact that his Douyin and Weibo accounts were banned is a complete truth. The question is, what is the reason for his Weibo account being banned?
包括他在其他平台的账号有没有受到影响。
Does the package include whether his accounts on other platforms have been affected?
他的微博是在6月2号的时候。
His Weibo was posted on June 2nd.
被全面禁言的。
Banned completely.
就是他什么都干不了。
He can't do anything.
发不了博。
I can't post on social media.
评论不了。
Cannot be reviewed.
私信也不行。
Private messages don't work either.
转发也不行。
Forwarding is not allowed.
他就只能看看自己的主页。
He can only look at his own reasons. Well,
然后账号上面是直接写了违反法律法规，限制发言。
Then the account directly stated that the speech violated the legal and regulatory restrictions.
但是他的抖音
But his Douyin
小红书和视频号
Little Red Book and Video
这些平台的账号都是可以正常更新。
These accounts on these platforms can be updated normally.
可以直播的。
It can be streamed.
没有任何影响。
No impact.
明白。
Okay.
那他这个微博被禁言是因为某一句话说错了。
Because he said a wrong sentence on Weibo, he was banned.
还是说背后有更复杂的原因？
Is it possible that there are more complex reasons behind it?
其实这次禁言不是因为一次的口误。
Actually, this ban wasn't because of a single mistake.
而是他长期以来的一系列的行为不断的积累。
Instead, it is the accumulation of his long-term behaviors.
然后平台给他的一个处罚。
Then, the platform gave him a penalty.
啊，这个事情是分好几个阶段的。
This is a multi-stage event.
看来事情没那么简单。
It seems that things are not so simple.
啊，能不能详细说说有哪些阶段？当然可以。
Could you please elaborate on the different stages?
第一个阶段就是他和用户发生了非常激烈的矛盾。
The first stage is that he had a very intense conflict with the user. Well,
他直接在网上公开的去称呼那些给产品差评的消费者为 loser, 说人家心里阴暗。
He directly called those consumers who gave negative reviews on the internet losers and said that they were psychologically disturbed.
这个就导致了很多用户集体去投诉他。
This led to many users collectively filing complaints against him.
然后他又悬赏去征集自媒体的黑料。
Then he also offered a reward to solicit black tone content from self media.
甚至一口气起诉了168位测评博主。
He even sued 168 bloggers for defamation.
所以整个行业的舆论一下子就炸开了锅。
So the entire industry's public opinion suddenly exploded.
这是第一阶段的情况。
This is the first stage of the situation.
后面几个阶段是什么情况呢？
What are the situations in the later stages?
第二阶段。
Second stage.
他是直接跟平台杠上了。
He directly confronted the platform.
他彻底否定小红书平台的评价体系。
He completely denied the evaluation system of the Zyro Honshu platform.
还公开地去批评人家的价值观。
Publicly criticize someone's values.
所以也遭到了平台的投诉。
Therefore, they also received complaints from the platform. Well,
第三阶段就是他不断地去发布一些。
The third stage is that he keeps publishing some.
比如说什么五年要成为全球首富啊，万亿美金的生态啊。
For example, saying that it will take 5 years to become the world's richest person with a net worth of trillions of dollars.
喊话。
Announce.
余承东跳槽啊。
Yu Chen Dong is jumping ship.
还有什么200多家事业部要独立上市啊之类的，非常极端的言论。
There are also extreme statements like over 200 business units want to go public independently.
然后也让他的粉丝每天必须要发三条推广。
Then he also required his fans to post 3 promotional posts every day.
导致网友们大量的去举报他刷屏。
This led to a large number of netizens reporting him for spamming.
最后一个阶段就是他在 pre-IPO 非常关键的期间。
The final stage is during the pre-IPO period, which is very crucial.
他又去夸大自己的估值啊。
He's exaggerating his valuation again.
然后又被财经媒体和国资的投资圈去质疑。
Then it was again questioned by financial media and the state-owned investment circles.
所以这个时候舆情就彻底爆发了。
So at this time, public opinion completely exploded.
微博就直接下了禁言令。
了解了。
The Weibo platform has directly implemented a ban on speech.
那现在于浩的微博禁言有没有说具体要禁多久？
Has Hao now been banned from Weibo for a specific period of time?
然后平台是怎么来判定他能不能够提前恢复呢？
Then how does the platform determine whether he can be allowed to recover early?
目前平台没有说具体是七天还是三十天。
Currently, the platform has not specified whether it is 7 days or 30 days.
或者说永久啊。
Or to put it another way, permanently.
没有这样的一个公开的标准。
There is no such public standard.
嗯。
Well,
他想要提前解禁的话
If he wants to do so,
首先得递交书面的整改
First, you need to submit the written corrections.
然后他之后不能再发表这种极端的言论
Furthermore, he cannot make such extreme statements anymore.
并且没有人再集中地去投诉他
And no one was complaining about him being there.
他才有可能提前出来
He could have come out early.
明白了。
Understood.
那外界对于他这个解禁时间有什么看法吗
?What are the external opinions on his release date?
有些行业里的人分析说
,Some people in certain industries analyze that
他可能就是15到30天就会短期解禁。
He might be released within a short period of time, perhaps between 15 and 30 days.
但是如果他再引发新的争议的话
However, if he causes new controversy again,
他就会马上被延长禁言时间
He will immediately be extended his ban time
甚至是更长时间的封禁
Even longer bans
好的
OK
咱们接下来要聊的就是追觅在 pre-IPO 这个阶段的一些融资的操作
Next, we'll discuss the financing operations of pre-IPO companies.
以及他的一些极端言论背后的资本的逻辑啊。
And the logic behind his extreme statements and the capital behind them.
还有他的一些夸张的营销到底是为了什么
?What exactly is he trying to achieve with all this exaggerated marketing?
对。
Okay.
包括他的这个估值。
Including this valuation.
他到底想要达到一个什么样的目的
?What exactly does he want to achieve?
然后他的股权结构到底有什么样的变化
?Then what kind of changes did his equity structure undergo?
这一轮 Dreamy 在 pre-IPO 的时候
During this round of IPO for Draper
他的投前估值是700亿
His valuation is 7 billion
然后他会释放 5% 到 10% 的股份进行融资
Then he will release 5% to 10% of the shares for financing
那最引人注目的就是小米早期的那些投资方
What was most striking was the early investors of Xiaomi
他们会在这一轮全部套现离场、
They will all exit the market in this round
然后余浩他自己也会卖出一部分他的老股实现部分变现
In addition, Hao himself will also sell a portion of his old shares to realize some profits
追觅的主业就是扫地机器人和吸尘器这块
The core business of the company is in the field of robotic vacuum cleaners and vacuum cleaners.
对吧
Right?
嗯
Well,
那他的这个估值怎么会冲到700亿这么高呢
How could his valuation reach such a high of 7 billion?
是的
Yes.
如果他只是看扫地机器人和吸尘器这个业务的话
If he only focused on the business of vacuum cleaners and robotic vacuum cleaners,
其实他的对标公司
Actually, his competitor company,
比如说像科沃斯
For example, like Key,
像石头科技啊
Like Stone Technology,
他们的估值也就是三四百亿的 PE
Their valuation is equivalent to a PE of 300 to 400 billion.
但是余浩他很巧妙的就是把 Dreamy 包装成了一个所谓的人车加天地心的全产业链的科技生态平台。
However, Yuhao cleverly turned the pursuit of privacy into a so-called new all-inclusive technology ecosystem of people, vehicles, and the environment.
就它不再是一个家电公司了
Because it is no longer a household appliance company
它是一个跨赛道的科技公司、
It's a tech company that spans across different fields
所以它就可以支撑这个700亿的高估值
Therefore, he can support this valuation of 7 billion
然后也可以吸引到各地的政府产业基金进来
And you can also attract government industrial funds from all over.
懂了。
Got it.
那 Dreamy 在 pre-IPO 这个阶段
EIPO is in the pre-IPO stage.
他具体是怎么操作来实现这个高估值的
How did he specifically implement this high valuation?
他就是在全国很多地方都落地了项目。
He is the one who has successfully launched projects in many places across the country.
然后每个项目可能注册的资本也就只有几百万。
Then the registered capital of each project may only be a few million.
但是它可以撬动地方国资产业基金数亿的资金进来。
However, he can mobilize local state-owned industrial funds with billions of dollars.
嗯。
Well,
现在目前为止
So far,
他落地的基金规模已经有一百多个亿了。
This fund has already reached a scale of over 100 billion.
然后他公司内部还专门成立了一个几百人的团队。
Then, his company also established a team of several hundred people internally.
就是负责募资的。
That's the one responsible for fundraising.
然后他各个事业部的首要的 KPI 都变成了融资。
Then, the key performance indicators KPIs for each department were all focused on fundraising.
而不是说这个产品赚不赚钱。
Instead of saying whether this product will make a profit or not.
了解了，那追觅的这个极端言论和全员营销。
I understand that this extremist view and all-out marketing is being used to pursue the spy.
它跟资本运作之间到底有什么联系？
What is the connection between him and the capital operation?
其实他们所有这些非常高调的言论
In fact, all these very outspoken statements
都是配合着他的融资的节点来的。
All of them came as milestones for his financing.
嗯。
Well,
你想他从2026年年初开始
I want him to start from the beginning of 2026.
每天在社交媒体上面发几十条动态
posting dozens of updates on social media every day.
然后包括他在车展上面说只有三个人懂造车
Then he also mentioned that only three people understood car manufacturing at the auto show.
还有什么万亿生态啊
Are there any other trillion-dollar ecosystems?
什么批量 IPO 啊
What bulk IPO?
全部都是在他 pre-IPO 关键的时期放出来的
All of these were released during his pre-IPO period.
就是专门给一级市场的投资人和各地的招商部门看的。
Oh.
This is specifically for investors in the primary market and the sales departments in various regions.
他就是要营造一种他这个公司成长特别快。
He insisted on creating an atmosphere that his company was growing very fast.
然后版图特别大的这样的一个印象。
Then I had a very strong impression of the map.
而且他其实自己也承认说这些内容就是写给投资人看的。
And he actually admitted that these contents were written for investors.
我还有个疑问啊。
I still have questions.
就是他让所有员工都参加这个营销活动。
He made all employees participate in this marketing campaign.
对这个公司的上市到底有什么作用？
What is the impact of this company's IPO on the company?
全员营销就是他有将近20000名员工每天都要发三条推广。
All out marketing means that he has nearly 20,000 employees who need to post 3 promotional messages every day.
然后他还设置了这种达标了就。
Then he also set it up to be a passing grade.
发黄金的奖励。
Give out gold rewards.
所以短时间内把他的品牌的曝光拉得非常高。
Therefore, he quickly raised the exposure of his brand. Well,
产品的销量上去了。
The sales of the product have increased.
营收报表也好看了。
The revenue report is also interesting.
那一级市场的投资机构也更愿意进来了。
Even investment institutions in the first-tier market are more willing to come in.
它的估值也能上去。
His valuation can also go up.
虽然说这个刷屏也导致了很多用户去投诉他们。
Although this also caused many users to complain.
行，
我想知道权威媒体对追觅科技进行了哪些质疑。
What do you want to know about the doubts raised by authoritative media about Chase Me Tech?
最近像解放日报这样的官方财经媒体已经发文了。
Recently, official financial media outlets such as Liberation Daily have published articles. Well,
主要质疑的就是他的各地的国资产业基金被投到了很多非常分散的事业部。
The main criticism is that his state-owned industrial funds have invested in many very dispersed projects in different regions.
而且这些事业部很多都跟他原来的主业扫地机器人一点关系都没有。
Moreover, many of these departments have nothing to do with his original business of sweeping robots.
比如说什么奶茶。
For example, what is milk tea?
美妆啊。
Beauty.
房产中介啊。
Real estate agents.
就这些东西。
对，这些跨界的投资确实让人觉得有点摸不着头脑。
These things are really confusing when it comes to cross-border investments.
然后第二个质疑就是他的这个估值奇高无比。
The second question is that his valuation is extremely high.
但是他的实际盈利能力又非常有限。
However, his actual profitability is very limited. Well,
比如说他的造车芯片。
For example, his car chips.
卫星这些项目基本都还停留在 PPT 阶段。
These projects, including satellite projects, are basically still in the PPT stage.
量产遥遥无期。
Mass production is still far off.
所以他们也提醒地方。
Therefore, they also reminded the local authorities
国资要警惕风险。
权威媒体这么一说
State-owned enterprises must be vigilant against risks, according to a leading media outlet.
会给追觅科技带来什么影响呢？
What impact will the acquisition of Chase Technology have on it?
官方媒体的这种点名
This kind of naming by official media
直接导致了各地的产业基金都放慢了他们的投资节奏
This directly led to the slowdown of investment by various local investment funds.
嗯
Well
然后也间接导致了余浩他个人在社交媒体上面被禁言
This also indirectly led to how his personal account on social media being banned.
就是平台对他的约束也更强了。
The platform imposed stricter constraints on him.
原来是这样啊。那
Oh, I see.
接下来我们要聊的就是追觅为什么在 pre-IPO 阶段没有像很多公司一样选择低调。
So, what we're going to talk about is how Chase Me chose to be more visible than many companies in the pre-IPO phase.
反而要选择这种非常高调的舆论策略。
Instead, choose this very high-profile public relations strategy.
嗯。
Well,
它背后的资本逻辑是什么？
What is the underlying capital logic behind it?
其实在国内的话
Actually, in China,
只有你向证监会正式递交了 IPO 申报材料
Only when you have formally submitted the IPO prospectus to the SEC,
并且被受理之后才会有法定的缄默期
And after he accepts the case, there is a legally defined period of silence.
那追觅现在还只是在 pre-IPO 和筹备阶段。
Currently, it is still in the IPO and preparation stage of Dreamer.
他还没有地表呢。
He hasn't reached the surface yet.
所以他在法律上面是没有任何的强制要求。
Therefore, there is no legal requirement.
他一定要保持静默的。
He must maintain the silent period.
原来是这样。
That's how it is.
追觅为什么没有选择传统的那种低调的缄默的做法呢
？Why didn't the pursuer choose the traditional low-key approach？
因为追觅他现在的主业增长已经遇到瓶颈了。
Because he is pursuing a new career, his current main business has already encountered a bottleneck.
他如果只是靠产品的业绩的话
，If he only relied on the performance of the product。
是撑不起他现在这个700亿的估值的。
It's not enough to support its current valuation of 700 million.
所以他必须要靠创始人不断的去制造话题。
Therefore, he had to rely on the founder to constantly create topics.
不断的去讲一些新的故事。
Tell more new stories.
然后去扩张他的业务版图。
In order to expand his business.
这样才能够吸引投资人愿意用更高的价格进来。
This is the way to attract investors to pay a higher price.
嗯。
Well.
所以他一旦选择了缄默
，So he chose to remain silent.
反而这个高估值就没办法支撑了。
But this overvaluation is unsustainable.
这就违背了他们这一轮融资最核心的目标。
追觅。
This violates the core goal of this round of financing, which is to close the gap.
为什么要搞这种双线上市
？Why do we need to do all these things?
多个主体同时上市的这样的一个布局呢
？This is a layout where multiple entities are launched simultaneously.
它这个布局其实蛮巧妙的。
This layout is actually quite clever.
就他一方面让追觅科技这个主体准备在 A 股独立上市
He, on the other hand, was preparing for the independent listing of Chase Technology on the A-share market.
他计划是2026年下半年正式地表
His plan is to formally resign in the second half of 2026.
嗯
Well,
另一方面
On the other hand,
他又把他旗下的200多个事业部通过控股加美包装这个上市公司借壳上市的方式分拆到全球不同的地方去上市。
He also used the method of listing through the holding company Global America Packaging to split his more than 200 subsidiaries into different places around the world.
Oh.
那这样的话
Then,
他就没有一个统一的上市申报时间。
He didn't have a unified listing announcement time.
那他就可以避开这种单一主体上市的缄默期的限制。
That way, he could avoid the restrictions on the dead period of listing a single entity.
也就是说，他可以一直保持这种高调，在市场上发声，是吗？
In other words, can he continue to maintain this high-profile behavior in the market?
没错。
Right?
只要他的主体公司还没有正式的递材料。
As long as his parent company has not yet submitted the application materials.
那他的管理层就可以想说什么就。
Then their management can say whatever they want.
就说什么。
Saying that.
他不会受到证监会的这个静默条款的约束。
He is not bound by the SEC's quiet switching rule.
明白了。
Understood.
那在 pre-IPO 阶段。
In the pre-IPO stage.
对创始人的言论。
Regarding the founder's statements.
监管和平台是怎么管的呢
？How are regulations and platforms managed？
在这个阶段的话
，At this stage，
其实证监会是不管的。
Actually， the SEC doesn't care，
因为他还没有正式的申报。
Because he hasn't made a formal declaration，
所以他在一级市场私募融资的时候
，So when he was raising capital in the private market。
监管是没有办法直接去限制这个创始人在社交媒体上面的发言的。
There is no way to directly restrict this founder's speech on social media.
所以说创始人可以随便说，没人拦着是吗
？So the founder can just say that there is no one to stop him.
也不是，只有当这个舆情闹大了。
Not only when this public opinion becomes a big issue.
比如说官媒点名了。
For example, if official media has pointed out,
或者说大量的用户去投诉了
or a large number of users have complained, well,
那这个时候平台才会根据自己的社区规则或者
At this time, the platform will base its own community rules on its own,
或者说一些内容法规去做一个禁言啊这种处罚。
Or, to put it another way, some content regulations are used to censor.
对，它是一个事后的监管，而
Therefore, it is a post-event supervision.
不是说提前就给你设一个红线。
Instead of setting a red line for you in advance.
这种方式会带来什么风险呢
？What risks does this style bring?
风险就在于，它一旦正式的递了招股书之后。
The risk lies in the fact that once he formally submits the prospectus,
进入到真正的监管的缄默期的时候
when we enter the final stage of true regulation,
那他之前所有的这些比较极端的言论啊
all those extreme statements he made before,
或者说夸大的这种估值的说法
or to put it another way, the claim of overvaluation,
都会被监管部门细细的盘问。
All will be carefully questioned by regulatory authorities.
嗯。
Okay.
那这个时候就很有可能成为他 IPO 审核的时候一个比较大的障碍。
At this time, it is very likely to become a major obstacle to his Yeppo Nuclear.
确实啊，那我们接下来要聊的就是追觅科技未来可能的几种结局啊。
That's right. So next we'll be discussing the possible future outcomes of DeepMind.
那我们先来看一下最理想的一种情况啊。
Okay, let's first look at the most ideal scenario.
就是它能够顺利的上市。
That's why he was able to successfully go public.
并且生态逐步的落地。
嗯。
And the gradual implementation of ecology.
那他需要满足什么样的条件
What conditions must be met?
以及他会有一个什么样的发展路径呢
What is the development path of that company?
要想顺利的上市
Hope you have a smooth journey
首先，他的创始人要彻底的收敛他的这种高调、极端的发言。
First, its founder needs to completely restrain his high profile and extreme remarks.
然后要把他那些跟科技无关的。
Then I need to get rid of all those things that have nothing to do with technology.
比如奶茶呀。
For example, milk tea.
彩妆啊。
Makeup.
这种事业部都停掉。
This department has been shut down.
嗯。
Well,
要把资源都聚焦到清洁电器。
Focus all resources on smart appliances.
机器人和智能家电这几个核心的方向。
Robotics and smart home appliances are the three core directions.
对，
那其他的一些新的领域。
Regarding other new fields.
比如造车，比如芯片，要严格的去控制它的投入，只在小范围里面去做一些量产和落地。
For example, building a car is more like controlling a single project with limited investment and focusing on small-scale production and implementation.
所以他必须要放弃这种四面出击。
Therefore, he had to give up this all-round approach.
然后专注在自己擅长的领域。
Then focus on your own strengths.
才有可能走得更远。
That's how you can go further.
对。
Okay.
然后同时他的各地的国资项目都能够稳定的运营。Pre-IPO 的钱也能够顺利的到账。
Then, its projects in various regions can be stably operated. And the money for pre-IPO can also be smoothly received.
那他就可以登陆 A 股。
Then it can land on the A-share market.
不过他的估值可能就会回落到350亿到500亿之间。
However, its valuation may fall back to between 3.5 billion and 5 billion.
哦。
Well,
它会成为一个类似于科沃斯和九号机器人这样的高端硬件的科技公司。
It will become a technology company similar to companies like iRobot and Ninebot, focusing on high-end hardware.
然后它一些好的业务可能会单独拿出来上市。
Then he might take some of his good businesses and list them separately.
那些不好的就直接清算掉。
Get rid of the bad ones directly.
这是最好的情况了。
This is the best case scenario.
那如果说IPO 不顺利。
What if the IPO doesn't go well?
或者说估值大幅缩水。
Or put another way, the valuation has significantly shrunk.
追觅会是一个什么样的情况？
What is the situation of Chase?
它会有什么样的表现？
What will it be like?
这种情况就是说，如果他的创始人继续的去发表这种极端的言论，
This means that if his founder continues to make such extreme statements,
然后被监管部门在 IPO 的审核过程当中，
Then during the IPO audit process by regulatory authorities
重点的问询它的高估值
Focus on questioning its high valuation
它的股权结构以及国资基金的投向
Its equity structure and the investment of state-owned funds
嗯
Well
那这个时候就很有可能让它的上市进程被按下暂停键
At this point, it is very likely that his IPO process will be put on hold
看来就是说舆论风波和跨界的亏损都会成为他上市的拦路虎。
It seems that both the public outcry and the cross-border losses will become obstacles to its IPO.
如果说他的一些新的业务
If it has some new businesses,
比如造车
For example, car manufacturing,
比如芯片继续的这样大额的亏损
For example, if huge losses caused by the chip industry's continued decline,
然后地方的产业基金也不再给他钱了。
Then the local industrial fund no longer gave him money.
Pre-IPO 也募不到什么钱，机构都要撤资。
Even if we launch an IPO, we won't be able to raise much money, and institutions will have to withdraw.Well,
那他可能就会不得不把他的上市计划推迟1到3年。
He may have to postpone his IPO by 1 to 3 years.
然后他的估值可能就会从现在的700亿直接腰斩。
And his valuation could drop directly from the current $7 billion to $3.5 billion.
他就会砍掉他大部分的非核心业务。
He will eliminate most of his non-core businesses.
只留下扫地机和马达这两块。
Leave only the vacuum cleaner and the motor.
靠他海外市场的现金流来维持。
Rely on its overseas market's cash flow to maintain.
然后他之前说的那些分拆上市什么的。
Ben, he mentioned those things about splitting up and going public.
可能也就彻底的搁置了。
It's probably completely abandoned.
这是不太好的情况了。
This is a bad situation.
那如果是最坏的情况呢？
What if it's the worst case scenario?
追觅会面临什么样的局面？
What situation will the chase face?
最坏的情况就是说，
The worst case is that
如果官方媒体一直揪着他们国资投资的风险，不断地去报道。
If official media continues to expose the risks of state-owned investment,
然后各地的国资项目都要中途退出。
Then various projects funded by state-owned enterprises in different regions had to withdraw midway.
甚至要求他还钱。
Even demanding that he pay back the money.
嗯。
Well,
他的那些跨界的业务。
His cross-border business.
一个一个的爆雷。
One by one, the victims of the bombing.
资不抵债。
Not burdened.
一级市场的资金也全部都撤离了。Pre-IPO 彻底的失败。
The capital in the primary market has all been withdrawn, completely stripping the pre-IPO.
然后他的创始人依然还是负面。
Finally, his founder was still negative.
不断被监管部门直接否决他的上市申请。
His IPO application was repeatedly rejected by regulatory authorities.
这种情况下追觅会怎么办呢？
What should I do in this situation?
他就只能放弃上市的打算。
He could only give up on the company going public.
把他最值钱的清洁电器这一块的业务卖给像小米或者美的这种大的公司。
Sell his most valuable business, which is the cleaning appliance business, to large companies like Xiaomi or Midea.
嗯。
Well,
让其他的那些亏损的业务就只能破产清算。
And the other unprofitable businesses can only be liquidated.
他所有的那些分散的事业部都会被一一的剥离。
All those scattered departments will be dismantled one by one.
最后他就会从一个生态型的集团公司。
Finally, he will be from an integrated group company.
变回一个中小型的硬件代工厂。
Return to a small and medium-sized hardware manufacturing factory.
啊，就几乎是打回原形。
It was almost completely rebuilt.
行，好吧。
Okay.
啊，那我们今天算是把追觅科技从 Prime IPO 到上市的各种可能遇到的挑战。
So, today, we're going to cover the various challenges that a company like Chase Medical might face from its IPO to its listing on the stock market.
战，各种可能的策略。
This possible strategy.
各种可能的结局都给大家捋了一遍。
I've summarized all the possible scenarios for you.
嗯。
Well,
那这家公司到底会走向何方？
What direction will this company go?
大家可以自己去判断。
Everyone can judge for themselves.
没错。
Quite.
那今天就到这里了。
That's it for today.
感谢大家的收听。
Thank you for listening.
咱们下期再见。
See you next time.
拜拜。
拜拜。
Bye bye bye.